I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. On everybody, welcome into episode 300 of the allegedly award nominated, honorably mentioned, viewable on YouTube, number 9 NCAA ranked, and standing on business Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB coming at you from Underground Studios and coming to you live from his cubicle. Not in Alaska, for now, until you continue to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Deej.
I have an office, not a cubicle. First off. But what up?
I was trying to make a ice cube.
Joke. My bad. I totally just screwed that up.
It melted away.
There you go. I'll let you have that one.
We got a lot to dive into, from the NLL to the PLL to, like I mentioned, standing on business and talking a whole bunch of stuff on this episode. But before we get into everything, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Goes a long way for helping the show continue to grow. Keep leaving the 5 stars on Spotify as well, because we know we got some certified haters out there that are trying to drag us down, but we ain't going to allow it. So go leave those 5-star ratings on Spotify. And subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show every single week. You get live streams. If you keep subscribing, OTB Radio may pop up on a somewhat consistent basis. And you get full video episodes of every show on our network. And I think, genuinely speaking, from a non-biased perspective, we put out some of the best independent created content on the internet. And it's all in one spot. So go subscribe, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia, where Deej, we are currently sitting at 658 subscribers. We need to get to 700 before the ball drops on New Year's Eve, because not only will we hit a milestone of 700, we will also eclipse the amount of subscribers we had in 2022 on YouTube. So get us to 700. Let's keep the subscribers rolling. youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Deej, what's popping, brother?
Hey, I'm living. I am not happy about how the college football playoff played out.
Interesting.
Bama should not be in. Not saying that I need to address all the people thinking Michigan's scared to play Bama. That is not what that video was. Michigan is ready to play Bama. They got the athletes now to play. They got a good quarterback. They're big on the offense and defensive line. That's going to be a great game, and Michigan's going to win. That video was them going, wow, being an undefeated conference champ means nothing to the committee, because that's what happened to Florida State. Don't look too deep into that. But having lacrosse back was fantastic. I'm really excited. I'm going to coach box next weekend. That's going to be awesome for me. Like, I'm doing okay right now. Got a new car recently. It's got heated seats. Like, oh man, like life is back on the up and up.
What Michigan was really scared about was that they have to face a team that has now Notre Dame lacrosse player Tyler Buckner on it.
Man, ain't nobody worried about Buck.
Big there's Buck.
There's a reason Buck going back to Notre Dame to play lacrosse.
Yeah, he's standing on business.
Yeah, the business he should have started on. He ain't been playing no football.
He's out here ring chasing, bro. Let my man live.
I mean, it was smart because Bama not finna get no ring in this football, so he might as well go get him one with Notre Dame. Fantastic idea to me. I think he is doing what a lot of other people should do, and is forward thinking in the future. My man is smart. He's like, hey, I got a chance with this Bama thing, but I go over to Notre Dame, we going that way.
He's doing the inverse Bernhardt.
He is. Yeah,
I think it's smart for him because, I mean, if you look, shout out to the boy Dugues, put out his inside lacrosse recruitment statistics. Overall, coming out of high school, he was a better prospect than one Brennan O'Neill, according to Inside Lacrosse.
I think he's your kind of guy.
Why is that?
I mean, big, athletic. Most likely can shoot, considering he was shooting 100 miles per hour in seventh grade.
And you know where he was originally committed to?
Notre Dame. Where well, is no. he going?
He also was getting recruited by your boys.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did see that.
He was originally recruited by Michigan.
I did see that. Did you see Dante Moore is supposed to come back to Michigan, too? Michigan's quarterback room is going to be crazy next year. It's just a great time to be a Michigan football fan. Oh, my God.
I like Buckner doing this because, hey, it gives more prospect pool to the PLL draft potentially.
Yeah, and I love the banter from Alabama lacrosse, their MCLA. Mm-hmm.
We like, have a spot for like, you right here.
I have more than enough spots for you, my guy. And he's like, nah, that's not the kind of spot I want. But, hey, I mean, hey.
He fills D1. A hole.
Club lacrosse is D1 lacrosse.
He fills a hole that, you know.
That I'm sure they have. Yeah.
So, good for him. Good for him doing, following, like, his passion.
Absolutely. Smart man.
We'll be talking about him potentially with the PLL draft as well later on in 2024. But we have NLL to recap for the first time this season. It's brought to you by our awesome merch partners, PHI Apparel Company. The best in the game. They are the official home for all of your Outside the Box podcast merch. And I know, guys, I know. We've been saying the Duck merch is coming. Well, we just found out. Congratulations to our awesome merch provider, Tyler, at PHI Apparel Company. He and his lovely wife just had a baby right before Thanksgiving. So things have been a little hectic, as you could imagine, with one having a baby. You will know, if you follow us on the socials, you'll know immediately when the merch drops. But Tyler is working effortlessly to get that up for us. So don't worry, it's coming, it's on the way. We just got the update. And congratulations to Tyler and his amazing wife on the birth of their new baby. But you can get your OTB hoodies, your OTB logo shirts right now, along with Underground Sports Philadelphia franchise merch. You can get Philly sports merch if you're a Philly sports fan, which I know a lot of our listeners are. If you go to phiapparel.co and use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your order, it's the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing here at OTB and Underground Sports Philadelphia as a whole. So go get your merch, phiapparel.co, and when you go to checkout, use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off. And when you get your merch, tag us, tweet it at us. We want to see where you're rocking your merch from. Deej, NLL Week 1, 2023-2024 is in the books. And it went a little something like this. The Halifax Thunderbirds defeat the Saskatchewan Rush 17-12. The Albany Firewolves pull the upset and beat our league pass team of the year, the Las Vegas Desert Dogs, 12-10. Panther City tops Vancouver 11-7 in the lowest scoring game of the week. The Rochester Nighthawks take down your Calgary Roughnecks 14-13. And the Philadelphia Wings, the Wingies, my boys, they look good. They win on Long Island 13-10 against the New York Riptide. Deej, what stood out to you this past week in the NLL from these games? What were some surprises? What were some, like, okay, I kind of expected that? And overall, what stood out to you from week one?
I only got to watch a handful of the Calgary game, because I'm sure you can imagine why. I was knee deep in the Michigan game. So I didn't see too much there, but it wasn't what I wanted to see either when I did watch. So I'll reconvene with them in a private conference at some time, and I'm sure they'll be much better this week when things roll around. The Panther City game was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Vancouver had a lot of new pieces coming in, and they're still obviously trying to figure everything out, getting a new coach and Kurt Malofsky, who's fantastic at what he does, but you're still teaching a new group of guys your philosophy and how things work. So you could see some of that out on the floor. But I think Vancouver is going to eventually figure it out, and I think they're going to be better than they were last year. The Halifax-Saskatchewan game was probably the best game of the week, which I didn't have on my bingo board. I don't know why. I really thought maybe Philadelphia and New York was going to be better, but it was not. I loved everything I saw from both sides. It was back and forth for a while, and Halifax just had enough to continue to push out and win. So they definitely made me look stupid on the offensive side of things when I said I wasn't confident there. And
we also didn't know Cody Jameson was going to be active and playing until game time. So that's just the trials and tribulations we have with our picks when we make them, when we typically record on a Thursday, and then come game time on a Friday or Saturday, somebody's on IR, and then magically an hour before game time, they're ready to go. You gotta take our picks kind of with a grain of salt when we're breaking them down, but that's just the nature of the NLL.
Yeah, no, big fan of Landon Kells. That's what I learned from the Las Vegas game. I really like Landon Kells.
I personally thought Albany and Las Vegas was the best game, even though it didn't go in our favor picks-wise. I thought it was great back and forth. It was physical. You had young guys performing at a high clip. Ty Kurtz, what a game, what a debut for the boy. That behind-the-back goal for his first career goal in the NLL was absolutely sick. I thought that game was highly entertaining and far exceeded my expectations. It was also great to see Joe Nardella back out on the floor playing lacrosse for the first time since his knee injury. I also thought the Wings in New York game, being there in person, was a phenomenal game for both teams. I think the Wings offense looked great. I thought their defense was scrappy. Higgy played out of his mind, and truly, we said it when we saw the, I think we said this last week when the NLL like top player lists and everything were being culminated and Higgy was left off the goaltender list. Zach Higgins is going to play with the largest, most giant chip on his shoulder this season, being left off that list, and it showed in this game. I was impressed with the Riptide. There was a lot of shots that just didn't go their way, whether it was Higgy saving them, or I saw two shots, Deej, in that game that I don't know if anybody could recreate them if they tried. One of them literally went around the top, like it went around the goal but never crossed the line. So it was not a goal. Like it literally like traveled in and out. It was like a fucking like merry-go-round. It was the weirdest thing ever. Nobody could do that again if they tried. It was like on a track and it just didn't go in. And then another one bounced so far off the corner of the crossbar that it flew out of the rink into like the VIP section seats. And I don't think the ball placement could ever go there again if somebody tried to hit that corner. The Riptide took great shots. They just, some of them just were off the mark, and I think that's something that they're going to have to work on offensively if they want to compete, especially in a unified standings type of situation. Because genuinely, like, looking at the teams that won this week and how important it was to get a week one win with unified standings now, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it, you know, when they announced everything, but now looking at it, it's like, holy shit, every fucking game matters. And now it's like those five teams that played this week and won are ahead of everybody else and already have that advantage over the teams that were on a bye or the teams that they ended up beating. So I think, you know, the Riptide are going to have to really focus in during this bye week that they have on shooting and, like, precision shooting, because a lot of the shots that they took, they were good looks. They just didn't finish them, and it cost them the game in the end, because I think there's an an alternate universe where the Riptide probably win this game, like, 17-13. It was a good physical game. I thought Blaze Reardon, first time rocking the C on his chest, was fantastic. Four goals. Mitch Jones, something must be in the water in Philadelphia for him, because ever since he got traded here last year, like, 8 points is just the norm, and that's what he had in this game. Ben McIntosh looked revitalized and looked great. He had two awesome goals. One was off of a rebound, and one was a dunk. Joey Rez had five assists. And that's what I was texting you about this. I said, you know, when the Wings have one guy who's not scoring, like Joe Resiterez didn't have goals, but he had assists, you need the rest of the big four, Blaze, Ben McIntosh, Mitch Jones, to step up. And then you need the other guys around them to contribute as well. Holden Cotone had two goals in this game. Tate Cotone scored in this game. You know, you had other guys scoring alongside your big dogs. And that's what the Wings need to stay in games, is just everybody contribute and not rely on one or two guys every single game while everyone else is going cold. And then the Rochester-Calgary game was just a tale of two halves. Calgary looked like a dominant force in the first half, up 9-3 at one point. And then Rochester was like, man, they had us in the first half, I'm not going to lie. And then got their swagger back and went on a run. Connor Fields looked phenomenal. And I know it's one game, but I feel like we may have underestimated Rochester a little bit.
Maybe. Maybe. But the first half says a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to play like that all year, then there's going to be a lot of teams that aren't going to let them claw back into games. And I guarantee you, 9 universes out of 10, they don't win that game. It was just this one that we live in that they did win it. Like, you can't start games down 9-3 and expect to win them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, but if they play like they did in the second half, we would be extremely wrong. And sometimes I'm okay with being wrong. This is one of those times. Like, yeah, sure, I believe a team's going to be bad, but if they turn out to be good, that's never a bad thing.
Right.
That's always great for the league, always great for us, always great for them. Like, I'm cool with being wrong about that.
Is it also fair to say from the Saskatchewan game that Ryan Barnable had goal of the year already in week one, in game one of week one?
I mean, it's going to be hard to top that.
That goal was insane. Watching that happen live, my jaw was on the ground, and I heard our guy Pat Gregoire talking about it because he was in the booth, and he was like, oh, I'm not sure they waved it off. And I was like, that's a goal. And then they showed it in slow-mo. His body control to be able to run the floor in transition the way that he did and then falling to the ground while he's probably huffing and puffing like an absolute menace from running the floor as quickly as he did while he's like side by side with the guy who's defending him. And then to have his body go completely backwards, have the control and, like, awareness to keep his feet out of the crease, and while he's falling down, know exactly when to release the ball from his stick without looking, because he's backwards, remember, and then not fall in the crease until the ball hits the back of the net, was just that was like Bill Nye lesson in and of itself. That was like, did you know that Ryan Barnable has the best body control in the NLL? Now you know. Like, I was blown away by that goal.
I think it was just a freak of nature thing that happened. Like, I don't think he tried, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, I don't think he was trying to do it, but like the fact that like it transpired the way that it did, and like he was able to just like be in control of his body like that.
I don't think he was. What I'm saying is, I don't think he was in control. I think it just happened, and he happened to not hit the ground before.
It was like, nuts. Regardless,
when I was watching it, it looked like it kind of just happened, and he didn't know what happened. He kind of like got up, like, "Oh, that went in. All right, that like." And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not athletic enough to do any of the things he did, so I'm not playing it from a position to where like, oh, this guy isn't good. You know, like it isn't that special. It's just, I don't think he knew what happened. I don't think he knew what was going on or even tried to do it. It just, he unintentionally created a masterpiece of a highlight.
Yeah. He's got goal of the year so far. I think we should try to keep track of like who's on top. And then by the end of the season, we'll have the king of the goal of the year. And we could do that for the PLL too, and probably college.
Okay. I'm here for it.
And then we'll have like an overall goal of the year, and then somebody dethrone somebody the next week. And because like, if that doesn't happen, that Ty Kurtz goal is pretty fucking sweet too.
It's kind of hard to top a Ryder Garnsey one-handed. I'm liking this idea. I'm liking this idea.
And then we can have like our own like montage, like SportsCenter top 10.
Just best goals of the year.
OTB's
top 10 goals of the year. And then we can obviously have like top 10 college goals, top 10 PLL, top 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on to something there.
Look at that big brain. I be thanking.
Stop.
But yeah, overall, electric opening weekend for the NLL, and congrats to the teams that won. Congrats to the teams that still don't have a loss, and if you have a loss, better luck next time.
Don't be doing all that.
Hey, too late for that.
I'm just saying, bring it down.
Before we keep it pushing, let's talk a little war on the floor, Deej. We said that we'd review it, we watched it, and it lived up to the expectation, I think, and then some. It was, in my opinion, and I think you agreed with me, one of the best sports docs you and I have watched in a long time. The production quality was phenomenal. I wish going into it I would have realized, because it clicked almost immediately, but I was like thinking that it was last season's San Diego Seals. This is from two seasons ago, which I think makes it even cooler that they were following them around for this documentary in the first season back from the pandemic, which was like a lot of fascinating like wrinkles in the documentary itself, and putting a spotlight on a lot of players from that team that traditionally don't get the spotlight was very cool, because that's something you and I both love to do when we have guests on the show, is hear from players and coaches that typically you don't hear from. So to see like a Drew Belgrave, to see Cam Holding really like as center focuses of this, and then obviously the boy, the first guest in OTB history who unintentionally said the name during the documentary, was fantastic. Shout out to Austin Stotts. Following along with his entire family was very cool.
While this is on my brain, I hate to interrupt and throw this out there. Once we have HQ and we're like living in a similar area, we are making an OTB travel team.
Fair.
We're going to be outside the box.
Insert the Ken Jeong gif. I'll allow it.
Good.
I mean, we got two coaches that work for us, so
it was gonna happen anyway. Like, you didn't have to tell me, you didn't have to allow it, it was gonna happen.
We have two coaches that work for our company anyway, so.
Me and Dom would be crazy together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And obviously, Pro Athletics will be.
Yeah, Jerry. Congrats on the birth of Jerry's baby as well.
Yep. And that dive into whatever.
Diving off a death dive off of a cliff with an axe in hand.
Rip it. Just awful.
I love how many people tagged him in that. I was like, this you?
Wait, hey, this you?
I know that ain't who I think it is.
Oh, but it is.
War on the Floor was fantastic. I was like, that was the first time in a while too that like I watched something that like I was on the edge of my seat just wanting more and more and more from it. It's 5 episodes, anywhere from like 35 to 45 minutes if you haven't watched it already. I tweeted this too. It's very trippy watching a documentary when you know people in it, from like Eli Gobrecht to Austin Stotts to Steve Govett, seeing Paul and in doc there, knowing who Terry Foy is, you know, knowing people in a documentary makes the watching and viewing experience a little trippy, but it's like in a cool way. 'Cause it's like, you're like the Leo meme. You're like, I know him. And I laughed when you texted me when Austin said outside the box and it's the Peter Griffin. He said the name.
He said it.
So shout out to Austin for name dropping in the doc, but production quality was unreal. I loved the frat boy house of Mac, Trey, Austin, and the rest of those boys. That was hilarious.
I could fit in there. I'm not much of a golfer, but I do everything else they do. And I'm a little more clean. No offense to them. I get it. That's just me.
Unreal documentary. I need War on the Floor to be an annual thing. I hope they filmed one from last year, from the 2022-2023 season for a team. I hope they continue doing it. And I'm just saying, when is the Philadelphia Wings' turn to get that call? Amazon Prime, Mr. Bezos, NLL. I will be by my phone, because who has been the one member of the media that has been with that team since the beginning?
Me.
This guy right here. So I will be patiently waiting by my phone when it's the Wings' turn for War on the Floor. And I got to say, fantastic name, too, for a documentary for the NLL.
I mean, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. And
especially from that San Diego-Toronto game.
Some of them games, I was like, man, I forgot. I sometimes I forget how rough the game of lacrosse can really get, even though I play and like coach. And like, I like tell people like, oh yeah, it's a little dangerous, but like, I always like downplay it. Then I like watch something like War on the Floor, and I'm like, I gotta stop telling people it's not that bad. Like, these dudes are out here getting hammered. But yeah, when it's Calgary's turn, do it. Let me win a championship first as a fan, and then you can come along. I know.
I mean, as a whole, the way we've covered the league as a whole, like, we can get thrown a couple bones.
I mean, I just want them to win a championship first before they bring the doc. You know, it ain't always good when Doc Sig cameras are around. This team is good. We don't need that. We don't need that. Mm-mm.
I also loved how there was a lot of like informative like pieces of knowledge dropped on you in this, especially from Terry. Like, It's information that for whatever reason is just kept very hush hush from everybody, unless you've been in the trenches of the NLL for years and years and years, or even like played in the league. So like, you're like, what the salary cap is, and like what you know, average breakdown of a guy's contract is here or there, like. That stuff is like so valuable to people like us when we're covering the league and like trying to figure out free agency and stuff like that. And to kind of have that dropped on our heads was really cool. And to have just like a lot of like historical aspects of the game from Canada, from obviously the Native American aspect when they were talking with Austin Stott's family. Like, that was fascinating beyond words. All the Minto Cup stuff was crazy. Because, again, like, us being in America, like, the Canadian summer box leagues, like, we're not very privy to all of the goings-on with those and all of the information behind them, because it, up until, like, the past couple of years, like, it feels like the access just was not there. And especially this summer, it was not with the Man Cup. But, I mean, just top to bottom, just a job well done by the entire production team for the documentary. Highly recommend watching it. And, you know, I watched it all last night, and I was done watching it within, like, 2 hours maybe. And you'll just be on the edge of your seat, like, wanting more of it. And genuinely, like, it got me even more stoked to watch the NLL this year. Not that I wasn't already, but, like, going back and watching all of the happenings from the 2021-2022 season, and, like, just, like, being in the close trenches like that with a team like the Seals, like, I was like, damn, I'm ready for these games this weekend. Like, let's ride. Like, it was such a really well done documentary. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the best parts to me were, you know, like, side pieces on Austin, like, which was a pretty big part of it. He basically got almost a whole episode, so, like, that was cool. But, like, also, like, seeing the other parts that Cam Holding has and does for the Seals was awesome. Hearing stuff from Drew Belgrave and how he feels about the team, the coaching staff, what it's like to play. Like, that's the kind of part that I feel like lacrosse is missing in terms of content and getting out to grow. Like, basketball, you hear all the time about, like, guys growing up and, like, what it was like for them to play and, like, what's it like being in the NBA and being a professional athlete. You don't get that in lacrosse. Like, we're starting to get a little bit of that in the PLL, but, like, it's still not kind of where it needs to be. And, like, these episodes were deep dives into this stuff too. And, like, seeing how dudes start their mornings, or, like, all of their trophies from childhood, and, you know, how they feel about winning those things that are significant to their hometowns. And, like, that was the most compelling part. Like, yeah, the highlights and all of that was fun. And to see how the camera is able to capture the locker room and the games, but them going back and talking to those guys separately and with their families and such was huge to me.
And I think just the overall look, and we've been fortunate to have Patrick Merrill on the show in the past. And he's just an unbelievable person to talk to and, like, pick his brain, but to see, like, how much he cares about the Seals, about his job with them, it was so, like, awesome to just see how, like, raw and, like, uncut that was from him, and, like, how passionate he is with his relationship with Brody and everything they do with the Hill Academy. And, you know, to see how, like, he was, like, he was like, chomping at the bit to go and coach in Vancouver when he's got meningitis and potentially shingles and thinking he has bed bugs, because you never know what you're going to deal with in Saskatoon. What a line that was from Patrick Merrill. I, like, was cracking up at 1 a.m. when I heard him say that. Just an overall, like, fascinating, like, peek behind the curtain to one of the most fascinating lacrosse minds in Patrick Merrill, and a lot of Brody as well. But just so, and, you know, to see Steve Govett, who has supported this podcast pretty much from the jump, was very cool to see, like, his day to day. And it's like, yes, I do this for the team, but I'm also, my number one priority is ticket sales, ticket sales, ticket sales, ticket sales. And building a team in a market that is not a hotbed is a challenge. And seeing, you know, the curtain peeled back on Josiah as well was awesome. Like, you want to talk about white whale guest for us? I would love to have him on this show. Like, love to have him on this. Can't recommend it enough. Like,
that interview could last forever.
We could go hours.
literal hours with Josiah. Like, that might just be an OTB radio thing. Like,
facts.
We're just going to talk to you for as long as we can.
Man, who would you want to be next? If they do another one of these and, you know, make it a continuous thing, who would you want to be next up?
I mean, Buffalo. It would be crazy if they got to see Buffalo during their championship run. But, like, I also wouldn't mind, like, them going early to, like, Panther City or Las Vegas, who are still, mm-hmm. like, really new, or going somewhere, like, super deep tradition, like Calgary or Saskatchewan either, or maybe even Toronto. Because, like, they've kind of dipped down from where they started when they got into the league, and now they're kind of making that rise back up to being a perennial, you know, powerhouse team. So kind of any one of those would be awesome to see.
I would love to see Halifax. That would just be a fascinating, like, inner workings in a market where, like, they are the number one team and, like, just a growing franchise, and, you know, relocating and rebranding from a historic franchise as the former Rochester Nighthawks. Like, it would be fascinating to see, like, a peek behind the curtain with Halifax from last season and everything that they went through. And I'd also love to see Georgia, because Lyle Thompson in that situation would be fascinating. I also think the Colorado Mammoth would be awesome to, like, follow along with them after winning a championship and then going to a championship and inevitably losing to the team that you beat the year before would be very fascinating to watch. But can't recommend War on the Floor enough. It's a 10 out of 10 doc. Like, go watch it. Do yourself a favor. Gear up for the games this week by watching it, and you can thank us later. Let's get to, before we get to our week two preview, let's do a little discussion, a little lacrosse media discussion, Deej. Some stuff's been floating around the timeline that just doesn't sit well with us. As somebody who came up in the lacrosse media space 5 years ago, not knowing a lick about this sport, I was looked at kind of as an outsider. I was looked at as, you know, what's this kid doing, like, talking about the sport? And, like, it was a very, like, pocketed community, the lacrosse world and lacrosse media and everything, and very standoffish in a lot of aspects. And, you know, we deal with it all the time still, because, you know, we're the podcast that is the up and coming, grinding every single day to make it type of situation. But we came out of the clouds and came out of nowhere. We started off with a bang with the NLL commissioner on our podcast, episode one, with me and Dom. And we went from there. And then 8 episodes later, Austin Stotts is on our show. And then our next guest is Greg Gerenly, and going into the first PLL season. And we started off with a bang and just had the status of these big name players wanting to come on our show. The way you deal with that is you create relationships with these players in a positive manner. You approach the game the way that it's supposed to be approached. This is the medicine game. This is a game that is welcoming to all walks of life. This is a game where there's no need to be just mean and just absolutely, like, degrading and rude. There's no need for it. There's no need to be doing things for clicks. There's no need to be doing things so that you feel like you're hitting an algorithm. To see some of the words thrown the way of our boy, homie, since for years now, since he was playing for your Roughnecks, he's been getting down with us, Tyson Bell. I don't know if there's anybody... There's very few people I would want to be on the bad side of in life. Tyson Bell is one of those people. Knowing that he could kick your ass at the blink of an eye. Seeing the way that certain people were talking about Tyson Bell this week did not sit well with me.
It's just, it more so didn't make sense to me. Like, especially the person in question who makes a handful of complaints from time to time on the Twitter sphere about his interactions and or lack of interactions or lack of understanding of certain things. And it's like, this here is part of the reason why. Or even if you weren't doing this before, this here isn't going to help you get any farther with what you're trying to do. Like, you have to, now we could have said that, but it would have been a joke and he would have responded and said something funny, but we've already established that rapport with him to where he knows it's a joke. You can't just.
And also, would we have said that? No. Because the boy was fucking drippy.
Big drip, first off. But second, like, you just got to know where you stand with people and what you can and can't do, what you can and can't say, how to interact, how to present certain things so that it is accepted all around and that you can get to the places you want to get. But, I mean, he's not the only person on Lax Twitter that's doing things wrong either.
And it's one of those things that, like, you want to build your platform, you want to be recognized as something. That's what we've done. That's what multiple podcasts have done. That's what multiple traditional journalists have done and gained the respect, the confidence, and the just like positive nature of players, of coaches, of front office people across the board. And to just take jabs at players for no reason like that is one way to just kill your brand. And it's not like, you know, we're even like associates with this person. It's just seeing somebody that you and I are homies with, that we care about, like Tyson Bell, and want to see someone like him succeed in his career like he has since day one. It just doesn't sit right. And like, knowing that, like, and this is not to be like all holier than thou and like gatekeeping the community, it's like, no, like, earn your stripes though. Like, grind through and do it the right way. Don't just come out trying to be all Howard Stern shock jock type of shit and think you're gonna get respect from people, because you're gonna look like a fucking clown. And that's what this person did across the board with their comments about Tyson Bell and what he was wearing to walk into their game when the boy was looking fucking fly as hell. And I wish I could pull off a fit like that. It just didn't sit right with me when I saw it. I sent it to you. You said the same thing. And to come at somebody like that just out of nowhere, there's just no place for it. It's corny. It's loser energy. And it just makes, it doesn't make what the unfortunate, like, quote-unquote stain that, like, lacrosse has about it and the stigma it has about it any better. It makes it worse. It makes you look like a fool. It makes your platform look like a fool. It makes anybody associated with you kind of look foolish. And, you know, I know there's multiple people out there that have been on that show that I know don't want to look foolish from that. I'm not saying don't go on that platform, but it's like, think about how you're being a reflection of not only yourself, not only the company that you've partnered with, not only your sponsors, not only, you know, people who have been on your show in the past, but also like just a reflection of the sport itself and a reflection of the league you're covering and a reflection of you as a person, your podcast or your show as a whole. Like, there's so many things to think about. And then when players are deciding what shows they want to go on, they're not going to pick yours because they're going to be thinking in the back of their head, oh, is this dude going to like try to like bully me live on the air? Is this dude going to try to, you know, say some slick shit that's going to make me look bad and act in a way that I'm not traditionally acting because he's trying to, you know, get me to react to something? It's not cool. There's no place for it. And truly just like reevaluate the way you're approaching things if you're going to act like that.
There's just zero place for it. Just don't do it.
It's a zero tolerance on our end.
Just don't do it.
And not that we're like the media police, but like as people who are like younger in the space and like still trying to like earn respect from people, there's just no place for it.
So it's more so advice than gatekeeping.
Like, yes.
That's really what this is. Like us more so being like, hey, you might want to think like we can't make this man do anything he wants to do or anybody else out there. We can't make them do anything. But we can always offer helpful tips. And if they decide to take them, fine. If they don't,
and that's for anybody out there that may not even have an existing show, but you're thinking about it, like use your brain when it comes to creating your content.
Absolutely. Because you don't have it for no reason. And it will help you make the best decisions, and it'll stop you from making the worst of them. But
like, we wouldn't be here if we acted the way that some people do online. Like the way that we've approached this thing has been calculated. It has been with good intention. It's been with growing the game. It's been with growing relationships and just being smart about it. And look at where we are 5 years later. And we're still just barely scratching the surface. So our advice to any content creator out there, just be a good person.
Be smart. Be smart, loyal.
Be smart. Name the company that they use that as their tagline. No free ads.
Staples?
No.
Oh, my bad.
Rosart? The marker company? Oh. Be smart, Rosart.
Mm-hmm.
All those 90s babies will know that one. That was like Nick Jr. Nickelodeon commercials during the times you were homesick with grandma.
You got to stay home sick?
Man. And watch
TV?
Sometimes.
I got to stay home sleep is sick and sleep.
I slept on the couch, but that big old tube TV was chilling in grandma's living room.
Ain't none of that. I slept in my bed with all my covers over my face.
I had the privilege. I went to grandma's house when I was sick. I got dropped off, and I was the only grandson. So I got the extra oomph type of treatment from the OG. Shout out to grandma.
Yeah, she did you nice.
She did.
Yeah, lucky.
All the time. But yeah, just advice. Be a good person. Don't be fucking stupid. And stop coming at people that you would not do it if you weren't behind a keyboard.
Facts.
Let's get to our week 2 preview, Deej. It's brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses, prescription lenses, ski goggles. It's that time of year. Go to TomahawkShades.com. Check out everything they have to offer. Or download the app in the App Store, Google Play. Just download the Tomahawk Shades app. Very awesome user interface to scroll through and peruse. And when you go to check out either on the website or in the app, use our code USP for 25% off your order. That's TomahawkShades.com or the Tomahawk Shades app, and use code USP for 25% off at checkout. We got some big, big games on the docket this week. This is what the schedule looks like. The TSN Game of the Week kicks us off on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with my Philadelphia Wings up against their arch nemesis that they finally got over the hill and beat last year. Let's see if they can do it again. Who knows? But it's the Wings. It's the Toronto Rock, the newly revamped Toronto Rock, although at the time of this recording, we have no idea if Tom Schreiber's playing or not. So keep that in the back of your minds when we make our picks. If anything transpires, you heard it here. But Tom Schreiber currently on the PUP list, so we'll see if he ends up playing or not. Then also at 7 o'clock, the defending champions of the world, the Buffalo Bandits, kick things off on the road against the 1-0 Albany Firewolves. Then we've got the Zed Williams Bowl as his Colorado Mammoth head down to Georgia to take on Lyle Thompson and the Georgia Swarm. Then we've got 8 o'clock. That Colorado-Georgia game is also at 7:30 Eastern Time for everybody who may be wanting to tune into that. Then also on Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, we've got the Rochester Nighthawks heading to Saskatoon to take on the Saskatchewan Rush. And then the nightcap, 10 o'clock Eastern Time on Saturday, DJ's Calgary Roughnecks back on the road once again against their hated rivals, the features on War on the Floor, the San Diego Seals, in the Dane Doby, Curtis Dixon, Wes Berg Bowl as they play against their former team. And then on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time, we've got the Las Vegas Desert Dogs in Panther City. What a Sunday it is down in Texas, because you've got Las Vegas at Panther City leading into Sunday Night Football down in Dallas with the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Hey, you know what? That might actually go bonkers. I don't know how close they are to where, because they play in what, Arlington? The Cowboys? Like
Cowboys play in Arlington, yeah.
I don't know how close Arlington is. Let's see.
Cowboys Stadium to Dickies Arena.
I feel like it's kind of far.
No, it's like 30 minutes.
Oh, that's too far for them to drive. Them folks finna go tailgate all day. I'm that is what I'm interested for in that game, is to see, do they get a crowd or is it kind of empty? I would really hate for that game to be empty. But I hope they get some kind of
crowd.
That's
smart. That is smart though. Like, say you're going to
like
that game.
Like, okay. If the Philly Toronto game was Sunday and the Philly Eagles game was at Lincoln, that would be a perfect time to have the Philly game at 4, because people will go because it's right there.
Which
they're already tailgating outside. You just pop in, have a good time, and then walk on over to Lincoln Financial. But like, driving 30 minutes after probably being drunk, not a great idea.
Just get a DD.
But do they got like a, what does public transportation look like in Texas?
They probably got Uber and.
I feel like they should
no
have
free ads.
I feel like they should have some kind of like, what do y'all call it? What do y'all call it down there?
Oh, like the SEPTA?
Yeah, the SEPTA or like the Metra in Chicago, Red Line, Blue Line in Chicago.
Hashtag build the loop.
Build the loop. Hey.
Build the loop.
The loop. Hashtag build the loop in the comment section.
Yes.
That means put it in the
comment. You understand what build the loop means.
But if they have something like that or like a reliable transportation thing that can get them back and forth, this could
100%.
Really help. But like looking at the rest of the week, I mean, I'm going to call you promptly at 9:30 p.m. I just want you to know that.
I will probably be on the dance floor as the original host of this podcast, Dominic Ponteri, is getting married to his lovely, soon-to-be wife, Monica, on Saturday. So
I'm just out here D-wading it on
accident. I'll answer the FaceTime on the dance floor.
No. That's okay. I'll just text you. I'll be your eyes for the
Fair.
Toronto. And I'll just text you all significant updates. And then hopefully at the end of the game, you send me back a crying emoji.
I will be one of those people that will hopefully be able to get ESPN Plus on my phone working properly and be like eating my meal and watching the beginning of the game.
Oh, you are much better than me, because I saw kind of how your eye went, which means you'd have it like down by your leg.
Oh, no, that's going to be propped up right on the drink glass. Bada bing, bada boom.
Not even a drink glass on the centerpiece. I need to see.
Well, I need it to be close. I need to see if people's feet are stepping in the crease. I need to see if somebody's getting penalized properly. I need all of that.
I'm so excited for that game though, because I know you're not going to be able to like actually watch.
I'm gonna do my best.
And then obviously, I mean, game of the week. You know which one I'm gonna say it is, because
I think there's three games of the week.
I wanted you to say one so I could tell you were wrong.
Well, I think the one you're referencing is obviously Calgary-San Diego, which I think is
wrong. No. See, I knew you were going to say that. I'm wrong.
My other game of the week is Georgia-Colorado.
Yeah, that's the one.
The first game of the week is Wings-Toronto.
Yeah, like we have our individual games of the week, but I think the pod game of the week is Georgia.
I also think Rochester-Saskatchewan is like sneaky good. Like, that's like frisky, like good matchup.
If Rochester plays how they did last week, yeah. But then again, like, Saskatchewan's like itching for a win. Like, it seems like they haven't won in a while, even dating back to last year. Like, they're itching for one. And you could see it in that first game. Like, there were times where they're attacking Halifax, and it looked like they were going to get over that hump and take the lead, and they just couldn't. So that this could be a very good week. I just don't think we're going to get anything out of Buffalo, Albany. I would be worried if I was Panther City, though. That's a game I have circled.
That game's frisky.
To watch, because Las Vegas pretty much just threw it away last week on their own. Like, it was there. It was theirs to win, theirs to take, and they kind of just let Albany take it from them. And I was like, this is weird. So I have a feeling they're going to come back strong, looking to even things up in the record books for them, but also kind of just set a good pace for the next couple games for themselves. And if you're going to do it, you want to do that against another expansion team or somebody who's near the bottom, per se, to give you an opportunity to do so.
Especially because Panther City already has a game in hand. Like, they won last week, Vegas lost. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, a Calgary. Like, you don't want to start off 0-2 in a unified standing. Saskatchewan, you don't want to start off 0-2.
But that's the cool thing about Calgary is they have that game under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
They are not worried about first game jitters. You saw a lot, like, even though these are professional athletes, grown men, they had first game jitters. You mm-hmm. saw it in every game. Calgary doesn't have that. It's done. They don't have that anticipation of finally being able to get back out after so long. They did that last week. It didn't go the way they wanted it to, but they did it. So now they can walk in the game too, like, okay, we made this mistake, this mistake, this mistake. We did this well and this well, this well. So let's not do this and let's do this, and we should come out with a victory. They kind of have their feet under them. They have some film to look at of themselves to be able to go in and make changes. San Diego's kind of just like, all right, we've been in training camp, so let's see what happens. Like,
mm-hmm.
they're basically playing last week this week.
Yeah.
Without having any game last week.
Yeah, it's a fun week too across the board. A lot of teams that played last week. A lot of teams getting their first game. So what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams playing their first game of the season this week, which is exciting. 6 total games. And it's going to be a doozy of a weekend for sure. Also, one thing to keep in mind, both Saskatchewan and Las Vegas, especially Las Vegas, will be playing on a short week next week. Saskatchewan plays on Saturday, obviously, and Vegas plays on Sunday, but they play each other in Vegas on Thursday Friday.
Night. Okay.
So Las Vegas certainly on a short week because they're playing 2 games in a week, and then Saskatchewan playing
2 games
with 6 days of rest instead of the traditional full week, but lots of fun games on the docket this week. I think my biggest key is looking at the teams that won last week, like Philadelphia, like Albany, Rochester, and Panther City. See how they build momentum, if they can continue to build momentum and, you know, continue to just put things together on a week-by-week basis. And then these new teams, like you said, see how they come out swinging in their first games. The biggest takeaway I have, just from a very funny, and if you're a gambler, please gamble responsibly, of course, always. But the Buffalo-Albany line. Albany's at home, and they're 3.5-point underdogs at home. That's the largest spread line I think I've ever seen for a professional lacrosse game since I've covered the sport, since, like, legalized gambling has come into the sport full-fledged. I want to double check and see if it's changed at all. Yeah, it's still Albany, 3.5-point underdogs. And the Buffalo Bandits on the money line are -395, Deech.
-395?
-395. Albany on the money line is +280.
You know.
And for reference this week, the next largest money line gap is Panther City on the money line is -250 against Las Vegas. And they are the only other game that is more than 1.5 points on the spread. Panther City's -2.5 point favorite.
Wow. I mean, I get it. But, like, this league has way too much parity for that kind of thing, man. But looking at that line, talking about that line, the betting, looking at the two teams and what to expect and such, Albany's win last week is huge now.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. They win this game, everybody's looking like,
who?
Where'd they come from?
It's like the meme of Lil Sasquatch from Barstool where he's, like, sitting on the couch like,
but if they lose, it's like they're still in a really good spot, 1-1. And as of right now, if they keep doing that, they'd probably end up in the playoffs. So, like, I really like the fact they were able to go out and get a win last week. It kind of, if they do lose, it like brings them back to earth per se. But like, to me, they're hanging out in the stratosphere somewhere because they won that first game and were really able to kind of put themselves in a good spot to start the year. Even if they lose an early one by a lot, they can still feel good about themselves. Because like, okay, sure, we just got blown out, but we're 1-1.
You're one of five teams right now that are 1-0.
There are teams out there that are 0-2, because I'm sure there's going to be an 0-2 team this weekend. I can just feel it in the bones. I just hope it's not mine. But there's probably going to be at least one out there. So they can go, hey, we're 1-1. At least we're not those guys down the road that are 0-2.
Mm-hmm. I like the matchups this week. There's a lot of fun things that will transpire, I'm sure. But Deej, I think it's time we get to the old pick pond, feed some ducks, and get into our beer money picks of the week. It's brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia and the Outside the Box podcast. And right now, if you go to kenwoodbeer.com, you can get these fancy pint glasses that I have right here if you're watching on YouTube that look clean as a whistle. Look at these bad boys, Deej. Who wouldn't want to be drinking out of these ice-cold Kenwood Beer pint glasses?
I know you're not going to use it, so next time I'm there, I'm going to use it.
Oh, I've drank plenty of things out of here, non-alcoholic, obviously, because I don't drink, but I'm still repping the brand.
Right. That's what I mean. I'm going to give it a proper Kenwood usage, okay, while I'm there.
They are awesome.
If I like it, I'll order one for myself to do proper Kenwood usage at home.
They're a great price, too. They're only $8.
Yeah, like that's nothing.
That's nothing. Go to kenwoodbeer.com. Use the Kenny Finder. Our boy Stephen McAvoy will be in our city this weekend, as we have a big event that follows on the socials, you'll see, and he's going to be loading up on some Kennys as well. And you can get Kenwood Beer in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and now fully official in the Maryland areas. Must be 21 or older to do so, and of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, we start things off up in Toronto for the TSN game of the week. It's the Philadelphia Wings. It's the Toronto Rock, potentially without Tom Schreiber. No Treese, obviously, for Toronto because he is out for the season. How do you see this one shaking out in the Toronto Rock's first game of the year? And the Wings coming into this one 1-0.
Oh, dude. This one's really hard for me to pick. And it's because I don't know. You know what? We don't do this often, but I'm going to put this out there. You may hear this, and the graphic may be different. Because technically, our picks don't go final until Saturday night. So I may get off of this pod and decide to change my mind if I find out some things. But I just want to put that out there for y'all. But as of right now, for what we know, in Philadelphia having played a game already, won it, having, you know, that good feeling under their bones and not having to worry about it being the first game, even though it's on the road, I like Philadelphia to go in and win because they have the offense as of right now. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, Captain America ends up healthy, Toronto's my pick. adding Mark Matthews to that they already have, and it's healthy, I'm taking that even first game of the year. So now y'all heard it here. Wings win without him. Rock win with him.
I'm going with the Wings for a lot of the reasons you said. And also, this is like pseudo a home game for a lot of the guys on the Wings. A lot of them are from Toronto, so it's not a lot of travel for them. It's only pretty much the American guys that will be traveling to Toronto this week. So that's a huge thing. I know a lot of guys talk about, you know, they love playing this game because they get to sleep in their own beds. They get to be at home with their families. So I think that's a huge factor for this one. Along with the Wings have a game under their belt. They won together as a team so far this year. I think Zach Higgins and Nick Rose are going to have one hell of a goalie battle in this one. And I think Holden Cotone is a huge X factor in this game in terms of just like getting those like dirty, chippy, grimy type of goals. So I'm taking the Wings to win this one. I think it's going to be close. I think it could go down to the final possession type of close. But I think the Wings pull this one out and start the year 2-0, which would be huge for them to begin the year. So give me the Wings as we move on to Albany, where the 1-0 Albany Firewolves host the defending champions of the world, the Buffalo Bandits. I got to go with the defending champs as my pick. I think they're loaded top to bottom. I think they have one of the best rosters in the league still. And that's no slight to Albany. It's just they are a very young team. Not that they're inexperienced now, because they played a game together. They won a game together. But I just think the championship pedigree of the Buffalo Bandits will be too much for the Albany Firewolves to overcome. So give me the Bandits to get an opening win for their season.
As much as I would love to pick Albany, I saw some really good things from them last weekend. You know, John Ardella being back was awesome. Watch him out on the floor, him doing his thing. Cody Jamison being out there, even though he wasn't necessarily supposed to be, you know, not that we just didn't know. And just, you know, defense was great. They were flying around. Las Vegas is not Buffalo. Buffalo is not Las Vegas. Although Albany looked good last week, that does not equate to anything this week. And if it goes like it did last week, Buffalo isn't going to let them back into the game to win. I like Buffalo winning at home in Bandit Land to start the year after winning the championship.
So we both got the Buffalo Bandits taking this one as we move down to Georgia, Deej's League Pass Team of the Year, hosting my Colorado Mammoth in a big-time matchup at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm rocking with the Mammoth to win this one. I just think their offense is still extremely good. You added a glue guy, locker room guy, character guy like Paul Dawson to your defense to make you that much more gritty. And it's a battle of the Canadian goaltenders, as the master and the mentor, Dylan Ward versus Brett Dobson. I just think Colorado has a lot of firepower for this one. And just overall, like, roster, I like it better. So I'm going to go with the Mammoth to get an opening win for their season on the road.
Brett Dobson is the hottest goalie in lacrosse right now.
He's so hot.
Kid's unreal.
And that's just his looks.
Right. Kid's unreal. And as much as I would love for this to be our flip game of the week, there's something tugging at me to take my talents out west and visit the Colorado Rockies. So I'll take the Mammoth as well for a very odd reason, but do not expect me to choose against Brett Dobson and the Georgia Swarm too often this year. I like what they got going on down there.
Now we move to 8 o'clock Eastern time out in Saskatoon with that awesome, awesome, awesome neon green turf. I love that. Great aesthetic move by the Saskatchewan Rush with their rebrand. As they host the Rochester Nighthawks, Connor Fields, Ryan Smith coming in to Saskatchewan to take on Patrick Dodd, Zach Mans, and the rest of those boys. Deej, how do you see this this matchup going down between two of the mean green machines?
I talked about rebrand last week and how that helps and such. Not going that far this week. I'm going to pick the Saskatchewan Rush again, but for a very different reason. Frankie Skiggs did not look good
at all.
As good as he should have ever last week. That's in his head. And it's been in his head for a week. That guy is going to have an unreal game. And I, like, honestly, not, it doesn't really matter too many things that happen in front of him. We saw it even in War on the Floor. There were times where the defense just crumbled in front of him and the guy soaked up every shot that came his way. That's the kind of game that's on the dock for Skiggs this weekend. I like Saskatchewan to win.
We got a flip game. I'm taking the Rochester Nighthawks. I loved what I saw from them last week. Sure, that first half wasn't pretty, but some teams would just, you know, bend the knee and fall over and just call it a game. At that point, you're down 6 goals that early in a game. To claw back and have the resilience they did, they never quit. They kept playing as a team. I love the fight. I love the tenacity that they had. I love the grit they played with. Fieldsy looked fucking phenomenal. And I think Rochester, we may have underestimated them a little bit with some of the departures they had this offseason. I still think they're a very good team. I still think Saskatchewan is going to be frisky. That's why I picked them as my league best team this year. It's not many times I'm going to, you know, openly pick against them. But I think Rochester offensively has more in the tank and has more versatility on their offense than Saskatchewan does right now, where Saskatchewan is a team, after watching last week against Halifax, they're going to have to play like stalwart defense in order to win games this year, because they don't have 4, 5, 6 guys that can go out and beat a goalie and score 3, 4, 5 goals in a night. They have 2 guys that can certainly do that. That are on the younger side, and then you obviously have, you know, Robert Church and some of the boys there, but the overall firepower that you have from a Connor Fields and a Ryan Smith, who are only going to just take even bigger leaps this year, I think Rochester has what it takes to win this one, so I am going to go with Rochester to win on the road, improve to 2-0, and not a good start if that happens for my Saskatchewan Rush League Pass team pick of the year. But then we move to the nightcap. It's Calgary. It's San Diego at Pechanga Arena. Opening game for the San Diego Seals. Your Roughnecks coming off a tough, tough loss, Deej. How do you see them rebounding, if at all, in this game against the Seals?
So, last week shows a couple things. That this offense, this team, is still dominant. This team is still perennially good. This team is still expected to be at the very top of the league. That's what the first half showed. 9-3, looked like there were absolutely no problems anywhere around. The Scotiabank Saddle Dome was off of its rocker, as it should have been. And then it was all brought back to earth, showing what happens when Calgary takes its foot off the gas. They now know they're still no different. This is still the NLL, and they still have to play.
Well, they were in Rochester last week.
Okay, fair. Either way, they still have to show up and play all 60 minutes of the game. They know that. It's there in the heads. They're ready. But it also got out the first game jitters. That's the big thing I'm looking at in this game. San Diego, and it always seems like if you looked last week, it was the big teams that had the jitters. The teams that have a bunch of names on them, guys you're expecting to play really well, they were kind of timid. They were a little, those were the guys that didn't necessarily show up. I'm expecting the same thing out of San Diego. Not because those guys aren't good, not because those guys aren't ready, not because they didn't work hard in training camp, but it's just a normal part of sports. The first game of every season, the first meet, the first match, whatever it is that your sport calls it, is different. San Diego's playing their first game this weekend. Calgary has a sore taste in their mouth after losing a game they shouldn't have lost. I think all of that plays a factor. I take my Roughnecks to win a tough one on the road, maybe even by one. Wouldn't be surprised if this game goes to overtime.
We've got another flip game.
Oh, look at me getting ready to take the lead early.
I think San Diego's roster is just fucking loaded. Adding Trevor Baptiste to the mix is crazy. I still can't believe it. It was very weird watching that Wings game in person last week and not seeing number 9 out there. I think the Seals are just a juggernaut until proven otherwise. And until proven otherwise, I can't pick against them. So I'm going to take the Seals to get a win against a rival. And then we've got the final game at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. The Las Vegas Desert Dogs versus Panther City Lacrosse Club. Little cats and dogs match up there. Our league pass team of the year versus one of our frisky potential playoff teams of the year. How you see this one playing out, Deej, on Sunday?
Love the Desert Dogs. Becoming more fond of their black and white scheme, which is kind of why I want Calgary to bring back the red. But Panther City, Coach TK is doing the thing. That team trusts in each other. They play hard. And I have them in the playoffs for a reason. And that's because they're going to win games like this one against Las Vegas, a game that they should win. Panther City is coming up on year, what, 3 now of being in the league? They got them. Like, this is kind of that checkbox year for almost all of the expansion teams now, right? Like, San Diego got into the playoffs and won a game their third year in. The Philadelphia Wings, at least in the playoffs. I can't remember if you guys won third year or not, but at least in the playoffs, third year. Panther City has to crack again, third year. They got to get into the playoffs. They're probably looking at it in the same way, especially with Coach TK being with Philadelphia during that time in their first 3 years back as a franchise, not the original time. I think that plays a factor into how he's approaching the season. And he's like, look, we got to make playoffs because this is kind of like how this timeline works. Not that it's an end-all, be-all, but we want to kind of stay on the timeline of these other guys. We got to make it happen this year. And games against Vegas, when they're coming to play us here on a Sunday when we don't have to move and we get an extra day of practice, we better win. So I trust TK to get these guys together and ready to win a game at home that might be tougher than the first one was. They won by a comfortable 4 points. When you look at the rest of how the games went last week.
It was a grind of a game, though.
It was a grind, just like the Halifax game was. But Halifax and Panther City by far won their games handily. 4-5 was much, much more safer than what we saw in the rest of the games last week. I don't expect this to be a 4-point win.
Yeah, I'm taking Panther City as well. I think being at home plays a factor. I think having Callum Crawford on your roster plays a factor because of those 11 goals. I want everybody to go check the box score and see how many Callum Crawford contributed to this game. Vegas doesn't have a Callum Crawford. They have a lot of very talented pieces like Charlie Bertrand, like Jack Hanna, like Rob Hellier. But Callum Crawford is like a game breaker type of player. Jonathan Donville is turning into a game breaker type of player. I just think Panther City overall has what it takes to win this game. I think it's going to be close. I think it could potentially be an overtime game. We'll see how it plays out one way or the other. You'll get a post-game press conference from either Deej or myself on Sunday. I may be too locked and loaded for Eagles-Cowboys to even focus, but one way or another, you'll get those because we're going to do that for every Vegas game this year as them being our league pass team. You'll see that on our socials moving forward. So, yeah, I like Panther City in this one as well. Not great for our league pass team, teams this week, I should say. But here are our pick recaps, and you'll see our fancy new pick graphics out on the socials as well. We've both got the Wings. We've both got Buffalo. We've both got Colorado. You've got Saskatchewan. I've got Rochester. You've got Calgary. I've got San Diego. And we both got Panther City taking it home on Sunday afternoon. And those are our NLL Week 2 Picks of the Week, our beer money picks, brought to you by Kenwood Beer.
I already found my NLL Twitter name for the year once Michigan football season is over.
Oh, boy.
Tank Del Bianco. Mm-hmm. With the Calgary record right after it. Run it up, my guy. Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was like, yep, that's it. That's it right there. Tank Del Bianco.
I can't stand you. Best wishes to Tank Dell. Get well soon, pal.
Yes, best wishes. He was phenomenal for CJ Stroud and the Texans this year.
That's fantastic. Let's move on to some lacrosse news and notes. Deej, I got to ask you one thing. What would you say to Joe Byron right now?
Take me out to dinner, but no.
Hey, yo. Biden, though, has announced his support for the Haudenosaunee Nationals team to play under their own tribal flag in the 2028 Olympics for lacrosse. This is a huge deal. No matter how you feel one way or the other about politics and everything, this isn't a political thing. This is a human and rights and human aspect situation. And for a world leader to express their approval and support for this to occur is huge, especially since those Olympics will be happening on U.S. soil. I thought it was awesome to see that and to see the support from a world leader, from the President of the United States, to offer his support and offer his thoughts on the situation. And it's true. It's something that needs to happen for these Olympics, and hopefully this is a huge step forward for that occurring for 2028.
We are starting to see fruits of labor. This is huge for the game of lacrosse. Like, being on a national sector like that, where the president is coming forward to say something like this, lets people know, okay, like the people who are like, lacrosse is a sport, or like they have professional lacrosse, like those kind of things start to dissipate because people care about what the most powerful man in the world and what the president of the United States pays attention to, what they have to say. So this is huge in that retrospect. But also, if it does, you know, become fruitful and allows, you know, Haudenosaunee to play under their own name, because they do take this into factor and it snowballs the conversation and they're finally like, yeah, they deserve that opportunity. It shows that everyone involved in the game, the Olympics, will show respect to those who created the game. They care about where the game comes from. They care about how us, the people who are involved with the game, care about how it's being presented. We're being presented on a global scale, the highest global scale possible. And it just builds. And then people are able to see the passion, the love, the medicine, the care, the livelihood of lacrosse. Lacrosse is a true livelihood. When you get introduced to lacrosse, it becomes a part of your life. You feel it in your bones. You literally feel it in your bones. That is where a lot of people will be able to see it come to fruition, is at the you know, highest level, Olympic level. And they deserve to be competing for a gold medal at the Olympics, because without them, none of us get the opportunity to compete for a gold medal. None of us get the opportunity to sit on a podcast and talk about it. None of us get to travel and watch a game. At the end of the day, it all goes back to them. So if we're not giving them, you know, that gratitude, that respect, that opportunity, we're doing everything wrong. And I don't like politics. Most of the time, I don't like the president. There are some things Joe Biden has done in his life to make me not like him. But I push all of that to the side when he says something like this, because this matters to me. He said the right thing. It cares, but it doesn't dismiss anything he did before. It just means he handled this specific situation correctly, and I'm proud that he did.
And it's something that you and I take very seriously, obviously being the hosts of this podcast and knowing what it means in the grand scheme of the sport moving forward, and what it means for the millennia that has come before us to see that on a world stage. So shout out to Joe Byron for just being at the forefront of something that needed to have somebody at the forefront of it on a global aspect. The PLL Top 50 has started to trickle out. I think we'll do a full recap once the entire list is out. I know there's been a lot of public discourse on the socials about the list so far, especially pertaining to friend of the program, Dane Smith, being number 43 on the list. The thing we'll address right now before we wrap up the show, I want everybody to take a deep breath and realize, number one, this list is for 2023, for right now.
Excuse, that means June through September of this year. This one, 2023, the one we're living in right now.
This not is the last not... one.
The one where the Archers are the championship, not the Water Dogs, not Chaos, not Whip Snakes, Archers.
This is not, you know, who would I take to build a team with right now. This is not overall career. This is not any of that. This is based on 2023 alone, the top 50 players. Number two, this list is player voted, where the players
mean the people who put on jerseys, get paid by Mike and Paul, go out and get hit, score goals, pick up ground balls, etc.
To which the players get to vote for their top 20.
20-0 comes after 19, before 21.
If a bunch of players vote for a guy within their top 20 or outside of their top 20, he's going to end up higher or lower on the list depending on the aggregate of where those votes come from.
Math. Be mathing.
Now, am I saying Dane Smith, based on his 2023, should be number 43 on this list? Absolutely not. Do you and I both think Dane Smith should be and could be higher on this list based on his 2023? Absolutely. He tied a single season record for assists in a season. He's still Dane Smith and had a great year. But you got to remember, people are basing this off of the seasons that they had in 2023. That's why you see somebody like Connor Fields bumping up from number 44 to number 15, because Fieldsy was an MVP candidate. That's why you see somebody like a Jeff Teat take a little bit of a hit from his 2022 ranking, where he was number 4, down to number 11, because he wasn't the prolific goal scorer that he was in 2022. And was that a reflection of maybe his overall team performance not being there and not allowing him to take the shots that he did in 2022? Could be. But that's why you see him take a little bit of a hit. That's why you see somebody like Mac O'Keefe, who wasn't ranked and yet shot all the way up to number 16, because Mac O'Keefe was a fucking beast last year for the Archers and ended up winning a championship. That's why you see guys on this list finally getting the respect that they deserve. And I think Dukes put it the best, where in 2019, Jared Newman was ranked, and then he hasn't been ranked on the list for the past couple of years, and now he's ranked again at number 46, because I think Jared had a splurge where, you know, the two bomb thing was there and he got popular for being a two-way defender and then that stopped and it's like, oh, what does Jared Newman do? And now you see how much of a fucking beast of a defenseman he is and how he can lock down his matchup in any matchup that he's going one-on-one with. And now it feels like Jared's kind of underrated at this point in his career, which is crazy to think about, but it really, the pendulum has swung from Jared being a franchise like favorite with a lot of people that may not have been Chaos fans, but they just loved what he did shooting two bombs, to, oh, this guy's overrated because he can't shoot anymore, to now you see what he does as a defenseman and he's underrated for what he's able to accomplish.
My biggest thing on this is the list is player voted. The list is player voted. As I get to vote on different things in life, I've voted as a coach on other players for conference awards, all-state awards, all-American. I've voted on captains as a player for other, you know, for my team. Who else on my team do I think could be a captain? I've voted for awards as a media member. I've voted for coaches as a mentor, parent-like thing, where, like, I was bringing someone to a team and being, like, their guardian almost. And I was the one presenting them to the team, so I got to act as if I was a parent. And got to vote on, like, you know, who would be coaching and that kind of thing. Every demographic thinks and votes differently. Most parents are going to pick their kid first and then the kids on their kid's team right after that. They hardly ever pick a kid from another team, or they hardly ever pick another coach or another anything. Why? Because they're parents and they support their kids. Coaches, they normally will only put up the very best of their guys. They go through their guys and they're like, look, if I'm going to put guys up, it's going to be the ones that are going to make it happen, the ones that are going to win. I don't want to have discussion. I want guys to just look at the name and go, yes. Other coaches will sit and deliberate, and it's mostly about how players impacted the game. Okay, this guy came in. For example, there was a guy who got all-conference player of the year last year for us in lacrosse. And it was simply because everybody at the table tried to shut him off and he still had at least a hat trick against everyone. If we're trying to deny you the ball and you still score 3+ in every game of the conference, it's undeniable. There's nothing we can say. And that's the kind of thing we're looking at. As a player, they're simply looking at what happened on the field across from them at the very moment. What are certain, and it's more so plays or certain moments or a series of plays that have stuck with them still at the very moment while they're voting. That is the reason why they put a guy where they put him. Players are looking at it completely different than fans, media, parents, coaches, owners. Doesn't matter. Players look at the game completely different because they're the ones that are out there doing it. They're the ones that know how much it takes. They're the ones feeling the bruises and going through the travel and everything else that these guys are doing. So they know who's playing at the highest level and deserves that respect rather than everybody else who's on the outside looking in. Coaches could probably give a pretty similar assessment because they're going through some of the same things. But most of us are not traveling week in and week out. Most of us are not practicing like crazy. Most of us are not getting beat up. Most of us are not scoring goals or trying to dodge. These are things that they see these players do every week. So I think they know or have a pretty good idea of who's playing the best ball. And that's why we haven't had too much of a problem with these lists in the past 4 years that they've done them, because the players know ball because they play it. I understand we have our personal opinions about how good people were, but like I was telling you yesterday, like they don't, like we were kind of under the assumption that they're not valuing assists as much as goals. And as a player and a former coach, I understand, or as a former player and a coach, I understand that. It is so much simpler to get the degree of separation you need to make a decent pass and get an assist than it is to get that degree of separation to get off a good shot and score. it's a lot easier to pick up an assist than it is to score goals. So maybe these guys are putting goal scoring and dodging and whatever else above assist, which would then knock down Dane's, you know, ranking. Or maybe they're like, look, this guy who played three more games than you because you were playing NLL, I kind of value that a little bit more because I'm only a PLL guy. This league matters a little bit more to me than that one. Like, there's so many things out there that the players could be putting out that won't make sense to us because we're not players. Just keep in mind that it's a player voted list, and it's not going to look anything like what you at home should expect it to look like.
And at the end of the day, it's a popularity contest, just like the NFL Top 100 list is on NFL Network that everyone gets up in arms about every single summer. Guess what? The list is working because all of you are up in arms about the list and where players are ranked. And at the end of the day, it's getting people talking. It's social media engagement. And that's what the PLL does best.
And it's arbitrary. They actually don't get anything for being on this list. They don't get a plaque or an award or a jersey. They don't get anything. They don't get a medal. They get nothing except some social media posts and a lot of interaction.
Clout from the boys.
And clout, but that's it. They don't get any actual hardware or anything. So, like, let it fly. Say what you got to say real quick and leave it alone.
Because at the end of the day, Dane Smith being number 43, I said this to our boy Brian Nozlax on the tweet machine, and you know this is just as well because of knowing Dane as long as we have. Look out for Dane in 2024 because he's going to put on a fucking show.
Oh, yeah. This year is going to be fun. And that's if... He might even put on a crazy show after missing a couple games. He might miss a game still, again, because of NLL. And guess what? He might still outscore a bunch of people. The kid's good. I don't like, sure, he might feel a little slighted. Literally, key word is a little. Dude knows what it is. Dude knows he's one of the best on the planet. He knows his team is winning the games that matter and getting far in playoffs. He's not worried about the rest. It's arbitrary. Sure, he'd probably like to be told he's the best player by the other players at some point. But if it never comes, he's not going to be upset and cry about it and be like, oh, my God, I was never voted number one. He's going to be like, look at these trophies. Look at these medals. Look at all these memories I have. I'm spreading the game. There's so many more things that matter to him than this ranking. And that's most of the guys in the league. They do not care about this ranking. It's just a thing that happens.
And at the end of the day, we got 13 friends at a pod on the list already. That's all I care about on this list is seeing the friends on a pod get on there.
They're going to be so tired of us.
They could never. 300 episodes in the books is absolutely bonkos. Thinking about where this show was 5 years ago and how it started, and it was weird when I was watching More on the Floor and they showed Austin at the draft. I felt like that episode of SpongeBob when they shoot the commercial and they just see his head. It's like, there I am. I was like, where am I? I was at this draft. This is the first ever. This is how the pod started. But 300 episodes of any show is crazy, whether it's a podcast, a TV show, web series, anything is nuts. It's our second show for our company to hit 300 with some others, you know, little ways to go before then, but still making their way there. So to see this show hit 300 episodes with the trials and tribulations it's been through, multiple co-hosts, but then finally finding our footing with myself and Deej and turning this show into what it is now, and the players, the coaches, the front office people, you know, just all the guests that have come on the show to make this show what it is and give it the flavor and the flair that OTB is. Plus all you fucking crazy sons of bitches that listen to this show every single week. Shout out to you guys for helping us get to 300 episodes. Wouldn't be here without you. And, here's to the next 300.
The next 300. That sounds like a movie that Jonathan Majors or somebody should be leading in a remake of Sparta. Michael B. Jordan. Just at the front.
No better way. No better way to
not go. Not a remake. a spoof, kind of like Scary Movie, but it's yeah, I need that. So I know you're listening. Put it together. But no, seriously, I'm excited for at least another 300 episodes, and so much more is going to come from this. It's been more than a blessing. I mean, you guys heard, I'm not going to give you guys that whole Thanksgiving thankful spiel again. I do that every couple months on this show, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to try and limit that. But seriously, this is giving me so much, and I couldn't imagine my life without it at this point. So thankful to all of you out there that listen, and just know the next 300 are going to be just as crazy, if not crazier, than the first 300 were.
And no better way to send us into the weekend than OTB 300. Are you not entertained? Make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. It really does help the show continue to grow, helps more people find the pod. So go subscribe, leave a 5-star rating on Spotify in particular, and on Apple as well. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. We're at 658 subscribers right now. We need to get to 700 before the ball drops on New Year's Eve. That is a company-wide initiative. Need to hit it. Let's get to 700 even before then. That would be massive. Go subscribe, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Smash the like button. Ring the bell icon so you get notified whenever new videos pop up on the channel. You get full video episodes of every podcast on our network. And what did we say to leave in the comment section this week, Deej?
#BuildTheLoop.
Yes, #BuildTheLoop in the comment section. If you're down with the loop. But go subscribe. It really does mean a lot. We're close to another milestone, ever so close to 1,000 subscribers, which means a whole lot for the YouTube channel. And then once we get to 1,000, Deej, we're plaque chasing.
Oh, yes, sir.
So go subscribe. Get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off. And as soon as the duck merch is up, we will let you know. I'm going to check it right now as we sign off just to see, just in case it's up for the people. It would be awesome if it is, because I will immediately purchase my own. Not up yet, but once it is, we'll let you guys know. phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off your order. And this has been episode number 300. Have you not been entertained of the allegedly award nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, viewable on YouTube, and of course, standing on business, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Enjoy the NLL action this weekend. And big congrats to the OG co-host of this show, Don Ponteri, on his wedding that will be going down. I'll be in the building, so we'll have a fun little rendezvous there. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here, and we are signing off. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.